This episode is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about Advertising Week Europe and Ammunition EU launch. Frenis is a B2B market research company helping enterprise marketing teams sharpen their strategies and outreach with customer segmentation, ideal customer profiles and deep dives, customer needs analyses, and buying center insights.
All right, so we are jumping into the top Advertising Week Europe trends seen across LinkedIn.
Yeah, and to kick this deep dive off, I want you to just imagine taking like 55% of your entire marketing budget this quarter, stuffing it into a briefcase and dropping it straight into an industrial shredder.
Just completely gone.
Completely gone, evaporated. And, you know, according to the raw data coming out of Advertising Week Europe, that is the brutal reality for most enterprise brands right now.
It is. Billions of dollars are just, well, they're vanishing. And if you are listening to this right now while, say, staring at a dashboard full of supposed qualified leads that your sales team is
actively ignoring.
Right. Actively ignoring. Then the conversations we are unpacking today are going to hit very, very close to home.
Yeah, because we're looking at a stack of insights that point to this massive industry reckoning. I mean, the traditional B2B playbook where you just, you know, buy a bunch of ads, gate an ebook, and watch the CRM graph go up.
It's fracturing.
It is completely fracturing. And the most aggressive signal of the shift, it didn't even come from like a panel discussion.
Yeah.
It came from a major business move.
Oh, you're talking about the Ammunition launch.
Exactly. Right. So the US-based agency Ammunition just launched their European operation in London. And the way they are positioning themselves, it feels like a direct attack on the old agency model.
Yeah, they aren't playing nice with the old rules.
Not at all. They brought in serious operators for this. You have Renee Edwards as Managing Director for Europe and Chris Shadrick as Director of Strategy to really drive this entry.
What's fascinating here is the core philosophy that Ammunition is exporting to Europe. They call it growth, no matter what.
Which is a bold claim.
It's incredibly bold. And Chris Shadrick was very explicit in his post about the London launch. He basically said, there is only one measurement that matters, and it is growth. Like it is a pass or fail metric.
Right.
They are completely rejecting the kind of non-performance driven marketing that relies on vanity metrics or just, you know, proving that your team was active this month.
Okay, let's unpack this because growth, no matter what, sounds fantastic on a billboard, right? But like, what does it actually mean operationally?
That's the real question.
Because I look at the traditional enterprise agency model and it usually resembles this highly fragmented assembly line.
Yeah, total silos.
Exactly. The strategy team sits in one silo, dreaming up this massive brand narrative.
Yeah.
Then they hand it off to a creative team in another silo.
Who usually just wants to win an award for the visuals.
Right. They just want it to look pretty. And then at the very end of the line, the media execution team is left holding the bag. They're trying to force these subjective, overly polished assets into a performance marketing campaign.
And it usually fails.
It fails miserably. But Ammunition is claiming to replace that entirely with what they call an integrated operating machine.
Which basically means they are refusing to separate the thinking from the doing.
Mm-hmm.
In a true integrated operating machine, you know, the media buyer, the creative director, and the strategist, mm-hmm. they are all working from the exact same real-time data feedback loop.
So no waiting around.
Exactly. If an asset isn't driving pipeline, the creative team knows instantly and they pivot rather than, you know, waiting for some quarterly review to find out they wasted money.
But let me push back a bit on this. Is this operator-led, hyper-accountable expansion truly what enterprise clients are demanding right now? Or is it just, you know, clever positioning to win RFPs?
Well, you'd think it might be just talk, but the reaction from the market suggests they are absolutely desperate for it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Look at the ecosystem buy-in at their launch event. We saw posts from senior figures like Evija Skurskane, Robin Hartley, and Chris Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Chris Kelly literally rushed over from the Propel multi-club event just to be there.
Exactly. The density of B2B marketing leaders celebrating this launch, it points to this massive craving for leadership credibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Renee Edwards and her team aren't just account managers.
Right.
They are experienced operators who have actually built and scaled internal marketing organizations. Clients are finally realizing that, you know, outsourcing their strategy to people who have never actually held a commercial target.
It's a huge liability.
It's a massive liability.
And I think that structural shift toward commercial accountability, it's bleeding into everything. Because if agencies have to prove bottom line growth, internal marketing teams are under even more pressure to do the exact same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
This actually came up in a brilliant point from Priyanka Falad, a client director at Microsoft AI. She argued that B2B measurement is desperately due for a glow up.
A glow up. I love that phrasing.
Yeah.
And she was referencing an insight from Lubna Qureshi from Sage, heavily emphasizing that marketing KPIs cannot exist in a vacuum anymore.
No, they can't.
They have to tie directly into the only metrics that sales and finance actually care about,
which is incremental pipeline and deal size. I mean, if you are a marketer optimizing your campaigns just to generate MQLs, you know, marketing qualified leads.
You're playing the wrong scoreboard.
You really are. Anyone can generate 1,000 MQLs by giving away a free iPad in exchange for an email address.
Yeah, that's easy.
But if none of those emails turn into closed won revenue, the CFO just sees marketing as a cost center, not a growth engine.
Right. And Lucy Burnham reinforced this in her recap of the week. She stressed that marketing leadership has to learn how to speak the language of the boardroom.
Yes.
You cannot walk into a meeting with the executive board and talk about click-through rates or, like, social impressions.
They'll laugh you out of the room.
They really will. Burnham noted that you have to build your KPIs collaboratively with other departments. Everyone needs to agree on the dominoes.
The dominoes meaning what?
Meaning, like, what early signals indicate future revenue, and at what stage in the quarter should those dominoes actually start falling?
I see. But hitting those boardroom KPIs is basically impossible if your team is bogged down by the very tools supposed to be helping them.
Oh, the tech stack problem.
Yes. This is where I see a massive disconnect. Leadership demands more pipeline, more personalization, faster execution. So what does a marketing team do?
They buy another SaaS tool.
They buy another tool, then another. Todd K. Harris and Virginie Goupil both hit on this exact pain point during the week. And Virginie used a phrase that I think every B2B marketer will feel in their bones. She called it operational debt.
Operational debt. Wow. That is the silent killer of marketing ROI right there.
It really is.
Because we constantly try to optimize our output, you know, tweaking the ad copy, changing the email subject line. But we rarely pause to fix the underlying system producing that output.
Exactly. And Todd K. Harris made the argument that simply adding more technology to a broken operating system just creates expensive noise.
Just noise.
Like, think about what happens when you buy a new predictive lead scoring tool, right? Mm-hmm. But your CRM is full of duplicate contacts and your sales team doesn't even log their calls properly.
The tool is useless.
It's completely useless. The technology doesn't fix the behavioral and structural gaps. It just automates the dysfunction. So you end up with missed handoffs between marketing and sales, duplicated efforts, and this massive chasm between your high-level strategy and your day-to-day execution.
And Virginie Goupil's takeaway from speaking with leaders at Advertising Week was that technology without operational redesign is completely useless.
Yeah.
The smartest teams right now are entering what she calls the orchestration era.
The orchestration era.
Yeah, which means execution has to become systematic. You have to map out exactly how strategy, data, and execution connect so the business can scale without all that friction.
Right.
Fixing operational debt means auditing your workflow, stripping out the redundant tools, and ensuring your team actually knows how to orchestrate the tech they already have.
Which naturally brings us to the most hyped and honestly most misunderstood technology in that entire stack, artificial intelligence.
Of course.
Because if plugging in a new tool doesn't magically fix a broken system, how are B2B marketers actually supposed to integrate AI into this new, highly accountable orchestration era?
I mean, that tension was the defining debate of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is talking about AI. Everyone claims to be experimenting with it. But the reality of deploying it in an enterprise environment is incredibly messy.
Oh, it's so messy. And here's where it gets really interesting. Steve Doyle from Four Stars Digital Recruitment shared this highly revealing anecdote from the floor.
Oh, the hand-raising one.
Yes. He noted that if you walked into almost any room at the event and asked, hey, who is using AI in their workflow, nearly every single hand went up.
Right, because people are using it to draft emails, summarize meetings, you name it.
Exactly. But then if you asked that same room, who would trust an AI to send a finished, unreviewed piece of work straight to your boss or your most important client?
Zero hands go up.
Zero. Not a single hand.
Because the technology is available, but the institutional trust is virtually non-existent.
Right. So how do we bridge that gap? Because if we can't trust it to act autonomously, where is the actual ROI?
Well, Elad Brent-Shavit, he's the chief business officer at Allison.ai. He provided a really pragmatic framework for this. He was asked point blank if AI is here to replace human gut feeling and creative intuition.
And what did he say?
His answer was a definitive no. AI is not here to replace human brilliance. It is here to validate it using data.
Interesting.
And the financial imperative for this validation is where that terrifying shredder statistic we mentioned earlier comes in. Both he and Jessica Barter from Pinpoint Media highlighted this massive inefficiency in the market. 55% of media spend is currently wasted on underperforming creatives.
55%. That number is just staggering. I mean, if an enterprise is spending $10 million a year on media, they are throwing $5.5 million out the window just because the creative asset didn't resonate with the buyer.
Yep.
So how does AI actually fix that without just generating generic robotic ad copy?
By analyzing what Eled Brent Shavit calls the creative genome.
The creative genome. Right.
Yeah, so historically, creative approval has been highly subjective. Like, a creative director likes the blue background, the CMO prefers the red, and they just argue about it in a boardroom.
Right, it's just opinions.
Exactly. AI changes this by breaking down a video or an image into thousands of micro-elements. Pacing, logo placement, color palettes, tone of voice. And it mathematically correlates those specific elements to historical performance data.
Wow.
It removes the subjectivity entirely. You still need the human to come up with the core creative concept, but the AI tells you precisely how to execute it to ensure it actually converts.
So it's validating the art with the science.
Exactly.
But you know, that entire process relies heavily on the quality of the historical data you feed it. DeRay Pretorius brought up a concept from Experian's Sarah Robertson that perfectly illustrates this dependency.
Oh, about the fuel.
Yeah, a lot of people say data is the fuel for the AI engine, but I think a structural metaphor works a bit better here. Think of AI less like an engine and more like a high-speed, highly obedient translator.
Okay, I like her.
Because if your underlying business data is speaking a broken language, like if your CRM is full of outdated titles, unlogged interactions, mismatched accounts, the AI doesn't fix the language. It just translates your bad data into bad decisions at a terrifying scale.
It just amplifies the mess.
Exactly. If you haven't paid down your operational debt, your AI outputs will be actively damaging to your brand.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the impact of AI goes far beyond just optimizing your internal workflows or, you know, refining your ad creative. It is fundamentally rewiring how B2B buyers discover brands in the first place.
This is the scariest part.
It is. Chandrakatu Tripathi introduced a concept during the week that every marketer needs to understand immediately, GEO or generative engine optimization.
Right, so we all know SEO, optimizing your website so Google ranks it highly. But GEO feels like entirely new territory. How does a brand optimize for a generative engine like ChatGPT or Claude?
Well, Tripathi pointed out a structural truth about large language models that most companies are completely ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
LLMs do not care about your polished corporate press releases.
I don't.
No.
Yeah.
They do not index your paid media campaigns. They are trained to find consensus, and they look for that consensus in authentic customer conversations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, these great places like Reddit, niche industry forums, and LinkedIn comment sections to understand what real people think about a product.
Oh, think about the implications of that for a second. In the traditional SEO model, if you had a big enough budget, you could essentially buy your way to the top of the search results through paid ads and massive backlink campaigns.
Sure.
You are saying that in a GEO world, you cannot bribe the AI.
You cannot bribe it with traditional ad spend. Not at all. Tripathi posed a critical scenario. He said, when a buyer asks an AI assistant for the best solution in your specific category, do you appear? What does the AI say about you? And most importantly, who told the AI to say that?
That gives me chills.
Right. If your brand isn't earning organic, unprompted advocacy in those unfiltered community spaces, you will simply become invisible to AI discovery.
Invisible.
He used Starling Bank as a prime example.
Really?
They currently have the highest brand voice presence in LLMs among UK challenger banks. And that didn't happen because they bought the most billboard space.
How did it happen?
It happened because real, verifiable customers talk about their user experience credibly and at scale across the internet. The AI ingests those conversations as ground truth. In the generative era, your brand reputation is your performance marketing.
So what does this all mean? I mean, if the LLMs are looking for authentic human conversations, how does a day-to-day B2B marketing team actually adapt to that? It sounds like we have to completely tear down the way we currently communicate. You can't just publish a white paper and hope Reddit talks about it.
You do have to tear it down. And that leads directly into our final major theme of the week, the complete evolution of B2B storytelling and the total collapse of the traditional marketing funnel.
Yeah, I was reading John Webb's takeaways from a panel that featured Elfriede Samba. And Samba had this brutally honest assessment of how most B2B brands behave on LinkedIn.
It's pretty embarrassing.
It is. He pointed out that buyers are completely exhausted by the standard corporate update. You know the ones. I'm thrilled to announce our new Q3 Synergy initiative.
Oh, please stop.
Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Samba compared it to a brand just standing in an empty room playing its own playlist on repeat, wondering why no one is dancing.
That is the perfect analogy.
His advice was to stop acting like a broadcaster and start acting like a DJ.
Because a DJ reads the room, they adjust the music based on the energy of the crowd.
Exactly. Samba argued that B2B brands need to operate like modern media companies. They need to prioritize serialization, you know, giving people a reason to come back for the next installment.
Right.
And they need to lean heavily into human-led storytelling. It is no longer a volume game where you just publish 3 blogs a week. It is a trust game.
And that demand for human-led storytelling is being heavily accelerated by the creator economy, which has completely rewired the psychology of how buyers consume information. Gianmarco Rizzo highlighted a statistic shared by Meta at Advertising Week that should terrify any traditional brand marketer.
Lay it on me.
Right now, 70% of the content consumed on Meta's platforms comes from unfollowed accounts.
70%. Let's put that in perspective. What was that percentage just a few years ago?
In 2020, it was 0%.
From 0 to 70% in 4 years. That means the entire concept of building a corporate follower page is becoming obsolete.
Pretty much.
If reach is entirely dictated by algorithmic fit rather than who clicked subscribe, B2B brands are no longer just competing against their direct competitors. You are competing for the buyer's attention against Hollywood trailers, fitness influencers, highly engaging independent creators.
Yeah.
If your content isn't inherently interesting, the algorithm simply will not serve it to your target accounts, even if they follow you.
And to cut through that level of noise, the authenticity has to be absolute. Julian Green and Leon Harlow shared a perfect example of this in action. They watched UK rapper Giggs speak on the headline stage about a campaign he did with Oatly for their vanilla custard.
Oh, this story is amazing.
The mechanics of how this campaign started are fascinating because it defied every single rule of traditional B2B procurement.
It really did. It didn't start with a creative brief or an RFP or some massive agency pitch. Giggs just happens to be lactose intolerant. He genuinely loved the Oatly custard, but he was frustrated because he couldn't find it stocked in his local shops. So he literally sent a direct message to Oatly's Instagram account, pretending to be a member of his own management team, just asking if they could send him some product.
And Oatly's marketing team was smart enough to recognize the organic goldmine they were sitting on.
They leaned all the way in. They didn't force Giggs to read a heavily vetted corporate script about the nutritional benefits of oats. They just let him tell his actual personal story of wanting custard and not being able to find it.
And what happened?
The result was a campaign that drove over 20 million views and a 168% uplift in Google searches. It worked because it tapped directly into culture. It wasn't a forced interruption. It was a real human insight scaled up.
This raises an important question for our listeners, though. Translating that dynamic into a complex B2B sales cycle. Like, how do you apply the lessons of a rapper selling oat milk to enterprise software or industrial manufacturing?
That is the million-dollar question.
The execution looks different, obviously, but the underlying psychology is identical. Nick Constantin summed this up beautifully. He observed that the traditional marketing funnel hasn't disappeared, but it has collapsed in on itself. Context and relevance are the only things that matter now.
Because B2B buyers do not check their human psychology at the door when they log into their work computers. They still crave narrative, they still detect corporate nonsense instantly, and they still buy from people they trust.
Exactly. Constantin pointed out that brands have to abandon the mindset of interruption and move toward true participation.
Yes.
Community building is no longer a tactic you bolt onto the end of a campaign to generate some extra engagement. Community belongs at the very top of the strategy.
Right.
The brands winning right now are the ones participating genuinely in the spaces where their buyers already live. You have to earn the right to use aggressive performance marketing tactics by first establishing long-term, authentic brand credibility. If your entire strategy relies on scroll bait and gating content, you're actively contributing to your buyer's fatigue.
It really feels like the overarching theme of the week was finding clarity in the chaos. Alex Montenegro framed this perfectly when discussing career longevity, but I think it applies universally to brand strategy right now.
Yeah.
In a turbulent, bumpy market, your legacy or your historical budget size is not your safety net.
No, it's not.
Clarity is. You have to be undeniable in the value you create, and you have to communicate that value through actual human beings.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay, we have covered some serious ground today. Let's briefly synthesize the journey for everyone listening. The through line here is undeniable. The era of doing things just to look busy is over.
Amen to that.
It started with Ammunition's London launch, proving that the market is aggressively shifting toward operators who demand bottom line accountability, growth, no matter what.
Right.
But to actually deliver that growth, we saw that teams have to confront their operational debt. You cannot buy your way out of a broken process by layering more MarTech on top of it. You have to orchestrate your systems.
Orchestrate. Don't just add.
Exactly. And that systematic foundation is the only way to safely deploy AI. Whether you are using it to analyze the creative genome and stop wasting millions on bad ads, or you are trying to ensure your brand is organically visible to generative engines by seeding real trust in communities.
Which is the GEO concept.
Yes, GEO. And ultimately, earning that trust requires a total rewrite of how we tell stories. The funnel has collapsed, reach is algorithmic, and if you aren't communicating with genuine human insight, you are invisible.
You're just a DJ in an empty room.
Exactly. If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, go-to-market, and social selling. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss the next one.
I will leave you with this final thought to mull over. If 70% of content consumption is now coming from unfollowed accounts driven entirely by algorithmic relevance, does the traditional B2B corporate follower page even have a reason to exist in 5 years? Or will your entire digital footprint be carried by the unfiltered personal voices of your employees?